Good morning. It is a joy to be
with you this day as we come together to assemble to praise our loving God Almighty. It's Thanksgiving week. Our children are out of school, to their joy, to some parents' chagrin. But Thanksgiving is a national holiday in the United States and also in Canada. In the United States, it's celebrated the fourth Thursday of November. In Canada, it's celebrated the second Monday of October. But it's a time, a day set aside to offer thanksgiving unto God for the bountiful harvest of the year and the blessings He's bestowed upon us. For us, it's really no longer about the harvest, but it's become a day of families coming together, friends coming together to offer their thanksgiving up to the Lord God Almighty for this past year. I don't know where you are in your life today, but we can always pause and offer thanksgiving to our God. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Many of the Psalms call upon us to uplift our voices and praise God. And Psalm 100 is one of them. But Psalm 100 is more than just an exhortation to pray. It's a shout. It's not a whisper. It says, shout joyfully unto the Lord. As we come before God today, let us examine this psalm and see what we can learn and see if it will affect the way we praise God. I want us to notice three things this morning about coming into God's presence. And first, we're to come before the Lord with gladness. Let's read the first two verses of Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. It says, make a joyful noise. That's a summons to praise. The New American Standard Version has, shout joyfully unto the Lord. Well, the Hebrew actually reads, Ruah Yahweh Eretz. Ruah, although one word in the Hebrew text is usually translated with two or more words. The New American Standard Bible has shout joyfully. The New International Version has shout for joy. The English Standard Version says make a joyful noise. The word pictures an intense, energetic expressing of joy. Ruah literally means to shout. And the translators have taken it upon themselves to add the word joy to show us the mood of praise that is to be offered up to God in happiness. So we're to come and shout joyfully before the Lord God Almighty. This psalm is filled with praise. In five verses, there are seven exhortations to praise God. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Come into His presence with singing. Know the Lord that He is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Seven imperative verbs. Shout, serve, come, know, enter, give, and bless. An imperative verb gives a command. There's no room for discussion or questions. It says, do this. So this psalm tells us seven different things. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. When you come before God in praise and offering Him thanksgiving. Now that may seem overwhelming for a moment. But is worship a burden? Should worship be something that pulls us down as we serve the Lord? Well, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the New International Version has, worship the Lord with gladness. But the word is not the word for worship there. It's a word used of a slave labor. And it says, when we come before God to offer Him thanksgiving and to worship Him, we come before Him to diligently feel an obligation, a reverential obligation to offer up thanksgiving to His holy name. Our worship is not a burden. It should be filled with expressing extreme joy as we come before our God Almighty. You know, God's people have always expressed their happiness with songs. Throughout the Scriptures, we find where songs of praise are being offered up to God because they're experiencing extreme joy. What about the song of Moses? Remember after God brought Egypt out of Egyptian bondage, Moses led him to the Red Sea, and here came Pharaoh and his army, and God parted the Red Sea with a strong east wind, and all the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground and came up on the other side. Well, Pharaoh and his army had followed them into the sea. But then once they got out, they saw God close the waters and drown the Egyptian army. And Moses taught the children of Israel this song in Exodus chapter 15. It's a song of tremendous praise because of the works of God's mighty hand and praising God as a great warrior. But they're filled with exuberant joy because they're praising God for His mighty, miraculous deliverance. And that led on down further into Miriam leading the women of Israel into praise. In Exodus 15, 20 and 21, we read, "Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider He has thrown into the sea.'" Miriam leads all the women out. They're singing, they're dancing, they're praising because they're so filled with joy for the Lord God Almighty. Or what about David's exuberant dance before God when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the new city, the new capital city of Jerusalem? David danced joyfully before the Lord, 2 Samuel 6, 14 and 15. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. They all entered Jerusalem shouting and praising God. So when we come before God to worship, our hearts are to be filled with joy. Well, what does it mean to come before God with joy? What does it mean to you to praise God? Does it mean quiet solitude? Does it mean uplifted hearts filled with joy? Or something else? When we come before God, how might choosing to worship Him with praise and gladness affect your worship? As we come before God to worship Him, filled with joy, have you ever felt God lift your burden? Have you ever felt the joy of God for forgiving you? When we come before God with all thanksgiving, think of how it can affect your worship and the rest of your week if you enter into His courts with thanksgiving and His gates with praise. So when we come before God, we're to come before Him with gladness. When we come before the Lord, we're to come before Him with understanding. Before prayer and worship, we should pause and think about the mighty attributes of God. We should think about His mighty hand and His majesty. And we should think about His holiness, His mercy, and His grace as we come before Him. Now, do you think it would affect the way you worship God if you understood more about God and His love for you? We don't come before a distant deity. We come before a loving Father. We don't come before Him as outsiders. We come before Him as His family. We don't come before Him feeling unloved, because He loves us endlessly and He wants absolutely what is best for us. But just as worship is to be filled with joy, worship also has a rational side to it. Behind loud shouts, there should be contemplating and thinking and reverence. If we understand God's character, do you think we would worship Him better? If we understood God's word to us, do you think that would improve how we worship Him? If we understand all God has done for us, would it make us more thankful? What practices has helped you go from just routine worship to worship with joy and praise? When we come before God, we're to come before Him with understanding and with knowledge. Well, the psalmist says down in verse 3, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We must know God and what God requires from us. We must know God as the one and only true living God. There is no other God. He is ours, and He is to be praised. Well, why should we worship God? Because God is God. Because we belong to Him. The psalmist says we belong to Him by right of creation. He says it is He who has made us, not we ourselves. It is God who made our minds, our body, our souls. We didn't make them. It is God who has created all things. We're not self-made, self-created. We belong to God because of His right of creation. We have been made by His divine hand. No one is self-made. Thus, as worshipers belonging to God, we belong to Him because He created us. As worshipers belonging to God, we belong to Him by means of redemption. Now look back at verse 3. It says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His." Do you remember when God led the children of Israel through the Red Sea? He took them on to Mount Sinai, and there He made them His chosen people. They were His. Well, we're God's people today, God's chosen people, because He has redeemed us by the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus, He has redeemed us, made us His chosen people, and we belong to Him. As worshipers of God, we belong to Him out of right of sustenance. It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God is our shepherd. Well, what does a shepherd do? He leads his sheep. He provides for his sheep. He protects his sheep. God provides for us today. God provides us everything we need to sustain life. He gives us food. He gives us clothing. He gives us shelter. We belong to Him because He's the one who cares for us and provides the means for which we are living today. So we belong to God. Does it make a difference in your daily living knowing you belong to God? When you're going through hardship, when you're suffering, does it give you strength and hope to know that you're the Father's? When things are difficult, when we may be having trouble in our marriage or having trouble with our children, we can take comfort in knowing that we belong to our God in heaven above as well as everything around us. We belong to God. When life seems overwhelming, does it not give you great strength and hope knowing you have a Father who loves you dearly? We belong to God. And knowing we belong to God should fill our hearts with joy and praise when we come before Him. So we're to come before the Lord with gratefulness. The psalmist says in verses 4 and 5, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness is to all generations." Thankfulness should dominate our worship. It says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving." His gates, that is the entrance into the temple courtyard here. Remember, only the priest could go in the holy place. And only the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies once a year. But all of Israel could enter into the courtyard of the temple through the openings, the entryways, His gates. They're His gates because they lead to His temple. So he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come before him with praise. The psalmist says, give thanks to his name. Give thanks to his name, bless his name, are synonymous here. Thus, when we come before God, we give thanks, we bless his name by proclaiming his glory, by proclaiming his might, by proclaiming his mercy, his grace. We bless God's name when we offer up joyful praise. We worship and give thanks because we're recipients of God's mercy. What if God wasn't merciful? What if every time we messed up, just blew us out of the water? But we have a merciful God who loves us and forgives us when we mess up. We have a merciful God who no longer remembers our sins when we repent of them. God's mercy should fill us with praise, knowing we're forgiven of the horrible violations of his word, of our sin against the Lord God Almighty. Can you recall one area of your life where you were recipients of God's mercy? Can you call a time in your life that God forgave you? Our God is merciful, and that should draw us closer to him. What a blessing it is that God's mercies are new every morning. New every morning. Lamentations 3:23. So we have God's mercy available to every day. Well, why should we worship God? We should worship God because of his goodness. The psalmist said down in verse 5, he said, for the Lord is good. We worship God because of his goodness. We can always rely upon the fact that God is good. And he is going to do what is best for each and every one of us. Because we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. God's goodness never changes. Oh, we may not be good all the time. We may be extremely good to some people, but not to others. But God is always good. Thus, our faith can rest assured that we praise a God who loves us. Knowing God is good, should that change the way you approach him in worship? If God has been good to you this week, can you turn around and be good to someone else and let them see Jesus living in you? We worship God because of his loving kindness. He said, shout to the Lord. Offer your love because God loves you. God's loving kindness never changes. God's love is unfailing. We worship God because of his faithfulness. God is faithful. We can look at all the promises of his past that were fulfilled. We can look at all the promises we have for the future and rest assured that God will be faithful and they will be fulfilled. Our faith is founded upon God's faithfulness to us and his precious promises. Thus, we worship God because he is faithful. You know, the Christian is God's now, but he will be more fully his in eternity. Yes, our salvation is secure now. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God to mark us as his. But think about how in eternity it's going to be. We will no longer face God with our sinfulness. We will no longer be in God's presence with weakness. But we will be totally his and filled with his radiant glory. Oh, we worship God today in part, but in eternity we shall worship God more fully, for we shall see him face to face. Oh, we worship God today, and we have a relationship with an unseen God. But can you imagine the relationship you're going to have with God in heaven above. The relationship you're going to have him with all, for all eternity. Living with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Revelation, John tells us that God is going to be our God and we're going to be his people. And he's going to walk amongst us. Can you imagine seeing the radiant glory of the God who created us? We should come into his presence with worship and great thanksgiving. If you've allowed anything to dull your worship or to turn your worship into just going through the motions, then you can make that right with a God who loves you. You can ask him for forgiveness and have your hearts filled again with great joy and shouting praise up to him. We have a God who loves us, who will forgive us of any wrong we have done. Some people think God could never forgive them for the wickedness they have performed. But God forgives all. We only have to ask. If your life's not right with God today, all you have to do is repent and ask for forgiveness, and you'll be restored unto him, walking righteously before him, having your hearts filled with joy because of who God is. If you need to come to God today, his loving Son is calling you. If you need to make your life right with him, we encourage you to respond in the front now as we stand and sing.